Today's date is February 3rd, Sabbath day, 2024. We're in Acts chapter 13. If you have your Bibles ready, please open them to Acts 13. And we're going to be starting on verse 21. But it's more or less talking about how, well, from this point, what is being shared in Acts 21 here is that after the people denied God and demanded a king, it says in verse 21, and afterward they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And then verse 22 says, thank you, Brother Anthony, for posting him in the room there. But verse 22 says, and when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Kind of reminds me of my part of my testimony today, but I'll share that later. Samuel tells Saul, if you recall, in 1 Samuel chapter 13. Wow, look at that. Same chapter, but verse 14. So 1 Samuel 13, verse 14, it says, but now thy kingdom shall not continue. Again, this is Samuel talking to Saul because of his sinfulness. It says, the Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. And let me share something here from education. Page 48, paragraph 1, way back in 1903, this was shared. And it says, the principles taught in the schools of the prophets were the same that molded David's character and shaped his life. The word of God was his instructor. Through thy precepts, he said, I get understanding. I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes. And of course, that was Psalm 119, 104 to 112. And then she goes on to say here that it was this that caused the Lord to pronounce David when in his youth, he called him to the throne, a man after mine own heart, like what, you know, we just read here in Acts 13:22. And I praise God for this, the way this is stated here, because the only way to get to this point in our faith, the only way to get that peace and not let the world affect us in any way, shape, or form to the point of anxiety or even stressing us out, because we all have issues here, myself included. The devil likes to figure out a new end run against us to, you know, as soon as we, you know, overcome this area or that area in life to where it's either sinful or just plain stressful or whatever, whenever we get better at something we're doing, the devil will figure out a new way to come after us in a way we never expected. And so, but usually, you know, especially if we're obedient children of God, we figure it out. And we get back to the middle of the path. He tries to get us to the edges of the path. And praise God, we don't jump off. You know. But like I was just telling somebody this morning in an email, because these people constantly email me all the time, and they don't seem to realize that, I got pretty good memory. Not my short term isn't the greatest, but then again, whose is today because of all the crud that's in the atmosphere that we breathe in. But I do keep files on, you know, people that attack us. And I guess some of them figure that when they fail on one attack, they'll either change their name and try another approach, or they'll just wait a few years, thinking we've forgotten all about this, and they'll act like they're super Christians and come back in and say, hey, you might want to check this out. This has been a blessing to me. I'm thinking that you're going to be blessed. And it's always the same thing. It's the Trinity stuff. They call themselves, you know, Godhead people or something. I don't know, like where they say Jesus isn't God or the Holy Spirit doesn't exist or both. They're Trinitarians. They are pushing this theology for Rome. Well, for Satan, but they don't realize it's actually something Rome preaches too. They don't get it. And what I was telling him, I says, you know, you got to understand there are people out there. I'm not the only one. There's people out there that want to stay in the middle of the path. We don't want to go near the edges. And these constant end runs against me with these weird emails you keep sending. Well, I didn't say weird, but, you know, with these emails you keep sending over the years. The last one was in 2015. You know, it was, you know, all about, you know, this false theology about the Godhead. And now there's this guy that he sends me to and says that he preaches what we do, and you go to his site and it does look like that until you find some inner pages in his site where, no, he is preaching that same falderal. There's confusion in the ranks. They have the spirit or the characteristics of the spirit of Babylon. And Babylon in English means to mix truth with error. They'll ignore the error, or they'll try to hide the error when they approach you. So be careful, brothers and sisters. You know, the Lord's about to come. Satan's pulling out the big guns. He's going to keep on coming. At least once a week now, I'm getting people that are trying to get us to change the message. And it's going to get worse. And then as we prove that we're not going to do it, then of course it's going to be hate, threats, violence, whatever. But oh, amen to that, Brother Duane. Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that what, you know, prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. People out there tell me they're trying to get their lives right with Christ, but you know, but for those of us that have eyes that see, he says, no, you're not. You got to tell them they're, you know, they're deceiving themselves when they say stuff like that. If they're doing things that they know is sinful. If they don't know it's sinful, then of course, you know, approach them in a different way. But there's people not. I mean, look at Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1. That was prophesied to be for this day. Yeah, they're actually out there declaring themselves to be Christians when they're nothing of the sort. Jesus called those, they are the ones that give them lip service. And that's what Saul was doing. That's why the Lord looked at David. And that's why the Lord's going to look at us when it comes time for the letter ring. If you study the word daily, I'm not saying, you know, just read it, you know, a few verses and figure, oh, I done my duty and just, you know, hit the day. No, that's not studying the word. How are you going to have a relationship with Jesus? People say they're trying to find out what his will is. Well, then open up that book. And then pray three times a day. I mean, do we think we're more enlightened than the patriarchs and prophets of old that put pen to paper, that allowed us to have the Bible we have now? They all prayed three times a day, and they hit their knees. So sad, today's world, but at the same time, we were warned. But it's nice to see that some of us like to stay in the middle of the path. And that's where David was. He wasn't going to go to the left or the right. I mean, later on he messed up. But again, he repented perfectly because he studied the word. Hence the reason for 1 John 1:9, which was written after Christ ascended, which was to the church, which were to the Christians that believed in Christ, who the Holy Spirit led John to let them know that, you know, you're still going to sin every now and then. And when you do, get back up, clean yourself off like David did. Get back to work. But when someone claims that they want to get right with, you know, they want to follow Christ and do as he says and accept him as Lord and Savior, well, then stop doing the things you know for a fact are sinful. When you do that, he'll know you're serious, and you're going to have an experience you never expected. Because I know that's what happened to me and just about everybody in this church family, I would think. Yeah, because when you finally make the when you make that final decision, I've had enough, then all of a sudden the Lord steps in, and then it's going to be amazing for the first few weeks, months, or even year, you know, when you have all these wild and amazing experiences with Christ. I shouldn't say wild, but they're outside the norm, I'll tell you that. And then the devil will attack you. But hopefully by then you know you're supposed to be in the Bible. Every morning or afternoon or evening, whenever you have the time to do it. I prefer mornings, because I like to start the day with the Word. And then, of course, pray three times a day, you know. And you don't have to pray for hours, you know. It just seems, you know, like we all do it when we get up in the morning. We thank the Lord for the day, and we rejoice and are glad in the day that he gave us. You know, just a few moments at the side of the bed, kneeling down. And then we do more or less the same thing when we go to bed at night. But the midday prayer, yeah, that's where you got to take some time off. you know, take some, you know, 10, 15 minutes if you can. I mean, you know, maybe even a half an hour. Just talk to him. Even open up the Word. It's amazing how he'll not only change your life, he keeps the enemy at bay. 1 Corinthians 10:13. But if you don't trust Christ, well then 1 Corinthians 10:13 is not for you. You can't, if you deny Christ, then you deny the promises. So, he is, you know, it's not that he's not going to give you something you can't handle, it's that Satan's going to do it. Okay, so verse 33 says, 23. Of this man's seed, David, you know, David's seed, of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior. Every time I see that, I think of Ruth every time, because she was given more or less the same promise, but it wasn't about her faith. It was about, well, yeah, it was about her faith, obviously, but out of her lineage came David, and out of David came Christ the Lord. But Psalm 132:11 says this, okay, because this has to do with, this is a confirmation of Acts 13:23, and so Psalm 132:11, it says, the Lord hath sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set up thy throne. And that's something that Saul denied. He didn't trust the Lord. And then I also want to throw it, just because I really like Jeremiah. But Jeremiah 23, verses 5 and 6. Okay, yeah, so yeah, Jeremiah 23, verses 5 and 6 says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch and a king. Notice the branch is capitalized. A righteous branch and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called, the Lord, our righteousness. Isn't that something? Like tonight at 7 o'clock Eastern time, like we always do on Saturdays. And then later in summer, it'll be called Sabbath, because the sun goes down much later. So Sabbath will already be done by the time we gather at 7 o'clock, is what I mean. But we're reading from that book, Christ, Our Righteousness. And just to give you a quick rundown as to what it is, it was the robe of light that was on Adam and Eve that turned off when they sinned. That's why all of a sudden they realized when they sinned, they were naked, because the light turned off. Christ, Our Righteousness was gone. They now had loyalty to Satan, because they trusted his lies over the truth Christ gave them. And I can even go, like, if we wanted to, we can even go into Matthew 1, verses 1 to 16, which I'm not going to do. And if you post it in the room, it's not going to be an easy verse to, or passage to read, because it's all names. It's all it is a bunch of names. But in there, you see, it starts off saying, this is the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David. And around the middle, it'll say, Jesse beget David the king, and David the king beget Solomon. And then on the bottom, it says, Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. And so the Lord does this stuff, like with the book of Numbers. There's a reason these books are there. And the book of Numbers actually helps, as well as all the other books, especially in the Torah, the first five books. It makes it easier to figure out. I did the calculation many years ago. It took a while to figure it out. These lineages, as they're placed, these family trees, if you will, help. Especially if you get a starting date, like I can't remember which date I used for the starting date. It could have been Artaxerxes, or even in Esther's. I think it was Artaxerxes, 657 BC. Like when you get the absolute date in the scriptures, and then you look at the names involved at that time, and then go back to Numbers or someplace, or even in the Chronicles, First and Second Chronicles. You get a date. And you get a name, and you just start going backwards. Because once you get 657 BC, and today's date, so just go backwards, and when you go all the way to the back to the Adam and Eve, then you do the calculation. You go, wow, planet's 6,000 years old. We've been here 6,000 years. So, and then you understand the prophecy of the Good Samaritan, where the Lord said he'll be back in 2,000 years. So. Going on, verse 24, and it says, when John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, I look at those, like verse 24 here, like Matthew 3, verses 1 and 2, it says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's kind of like what we're doing today. And so when you see Judah and Israel being mentioned, it's just the same crowd, if you think about it. And they were saved, but not all of them. Because a lot of people misunderstand. It says, oh, you mean all the Jews were saved? No. Just the ones that believed Jesus. They became Christians. And if you notice, every single solitary one of the apostles, including Judas, who hung himself, were Jews. It just went on from there. But verse 25 says, let me read verses 24 and 25 together. So verse 24 says, and when John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, whom think ye that I am? I am not he, but behold that there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I'm not worthy to loose. That's just, I believe Paul is saying, is it Paul talking here, I think? I think it's Paul. Yeah, it's Paul talking. But I think Paul is saying here that he's saying this because many thought John the Baptist was a prophet, and some even thought he was the Messiah. And so he had to kind of clarify it a little bit, give a little bit more inside information, and you know who's prodding him to do that, obviously, that's the Holy Spirit. And because we don't know it all, none of us know it all, I don't know it all, and if it wasn't for the scriptures, we'd all be in a heap of trouble, because we wouldn't know all that's going on. That's why Rome did what they did during the Dark Ages, and they're called dark for a reason, because the light was taken away. They translated the Bible into Latin, which is a dead language. Nobody was born at that time with Latin as their native language. It's just all, Rome was destroyed in 476. It went from pagan to papal Rome, just as the prophecy stated. And so, that language was dead. But then again, Rome is all about death. Everything, even the black robes that the priests wear and the nuns with the black robes, and then saying that you got to be dead before you can even be declared a saint, even though there's a ton of verses that where the apostles, you know, are talking about saints while they're breathing. That's why I did that one video years ago, you know, proving the Vatican's all about death. I mean, the fact you go into a Catholic church and you see every time you go into a Catholic church, because I was Catholic and Fran and I used to go to a lot of different ones just to get an idea. Well, not an idea. We got bored. I mean, it was the same thing. It was a cookie cutter religion just from church to church. It wasn't denominationally cookie cut because no one believes the way the Catholics do, you know, usually, well, back then mostly. Now, everybody's Catholic, even SDAs. But we would go to see all the different, you know, baubles and gold and statues and, you know, stained glass windows. And because we knew we were going to go and hear the exact same stuff. And that's what you did. They had a script that they used. And everybody in the church knew the script because as soon as the priest would say something from the altar, he'd stop. Then the whole congregation would say what was needed to be said next. And that's how it was. Makes you feel like you're partaking in the Mass, right? But the thing is it was very, very bad. And I go, but getting back to no matter what church we went into, every church had a dead Jesus hanging on a cross. Or a dead Jesus in the arms of his mother in that one sculpture that Michelangelo made. And some of the churches that had the money actually had a copy of that, made out of marble and everything. And by the way, that was the only, I think it was Michelangelo's David. They assumed somebody else made the sculpture, so Michelangelo actually signed one of his sculptures. He never signed any of them except the one because he wanted to prove to everybody, oh, no, I made that one. So, but I think it was the one where dead Jesus in the arms of his mother, you know, after he was crucified. So, yeah, but then you look at all the other statues, and this is how it is. And this is what I was explaining to this man today, and I don't know what his age is, but I've been dealing with him since 2015. I says, you know, you got to stop relying on mankind to get your information from on high. Go to the Bible. Because mankind's faulty. Even I don't rely on me, you know. I can mess up. I've done it many times, and I've had to correct myself before the great congregation more than once. Go into the scripture because he keeps sending me these preachers and says, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? It's just kind of like they're all preaching the same lies. Open the Bible and you'll stop doing that. But it's just, and so that's how Rome designed Catholicism. And so when you go in there and you see dead Jesus everywhere and, but St. Stanislaus is standing straight up in a statue. Mary's standing straight up with her arms out, you know, saying, asking for a hug from you. St. Anthony, St. Blaise, I mean, all of them. They're not saints. They're just pagans that were given Christian names, you know. The church constantly says, you can't go to Jesus. Come on, he's dead. We crucified him. And they just promote that and boast of that. And then says, but so go to the people, go to the humans, go to the priests, and they'll give you the information. But praise God, some of us, like myself, went to Christ, went into the Bible to try to figure things out, and that's what got me out of the Catholic Church. And I was using the Catholic Bible, too. You know, as many as, you know, they got 2,000 verses missing, too. They're just as bad as the NIV. The NIV is a little worse because they updated their removals. because the NIV is a Catholic Bible. I mean, just look at the copyright and who was involved in building it, if you will, in 1978 in Palos Heights, Illinois, right down the block from where I lived, same year I got married. So, but anyway, Acts 13:26 says, men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. And again, I like it when he says that whomsoever among you feareth God, he is speaking only to those that study the word of God. And feareth here is the reverent fear. And that's why Rome decided to start calling their priests reverence. And now all the Protestants do it too. Reverent and holy is thy name, saith the Lord. One time in the Bible the word reverend is used, and it's used to acknowledge the Lord. It's in Psalms. I believe it's in Psalms. Let me see. Reverend and holy. I would imagine one of my brothers are going to beat me to this one. I think I spelled it wrong. Oops. Yep, Psalm 111, verse 9. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded rather his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. One time, that's all that comes up in the Bible. Like Holy Father. One time in the prayer of Jesus in John 17. And so they take that. And to put that title in front of a preacher's name or in front of a priest's name is blasphemous. They're not reverend. They're human. But it's today's world. And so all the Protestants are just like the Roman Catholic Church. They're blaspheming God. The Pope, they tell everybody to call the Pope Holy Father. That's blasphemous. That's one of the two methods to identify, well, there's dozens, actually hundreds, of ways to identify all the fruits of Antichrist. But there's a few dozen that are pretty downright bold and amazing. And two of them happen to be the definitions of blasphemy in the Bible. And the first definition, of course, being a man calling himself God on earth is blasphemous. Because that's what they said to Jesus when he claimed to be, you know, God on earth. And then the other one is they declared he was blaspheming. Jesus was blaspheming when he forgave the man's sins. Remember the guy that he dropped down through the ceiling? Because he knew the guy was crippled up. It sounds like cerebral palsy, the way they describe it. And he comes, his loved ones take apart the ceiling and lower him down. And then Jesus says, your sins have been forgiven you. Because that was the main thing that was concerning him. He wasn't that much care. He didn't care that much about his state of life and how crippled up he was. His main concern was he wasn't ready for death. And that's why Jesus mentioned that first. And then, because, you know, all those Pharisees and Sadducees or whoever was in the crowd started thinking in their hearts that, who does this guy think he is? He's blaspheming. Only God can forgive sins. And so Jesus says, well, to prove to you who I am, stand up, walk. And he went. And the guy stood up and walked. He was totally healed of his cerebral palsy, I think. And so the Vatican does both. The Pope, in dozens of statements, even in their extravagantes, are, you know, statements that they have in their books that are literally considered inspired dogma, declare the Lord God the Pope, right? And then they have confessionals in all their churches where you have to confess your sins to a priest and he gives you absolution. Or no, wait, absolves you rather of, yeah, absolution. He absolves you of your sins. In other words, he forgives your sins. They won't say that we're forgetting all sins, we'll absolve you. Because if they say, it's just like with abortion. Instead of, no, don't call it, you know, infanticide. Don't call it murder. Yeah, just call it abortion. It's like homosexuality. Oh, that's disgusting. The Bible says it's gross. It's an abomination unto God. Hey, let's call it gay. You know, they just water it down. It's the same stuff. You know, I mean, gay is actually, what is it, an anagram? Where G.A.Y. came out, I think, in the 80s or 90s because... The Christians, they were starting to flex, you know, the homosexuals were starting to flex their political muscles, and so the Christians stepped up, and they came up with the term gay, saying, we are good as you, G-A-Y. So, yeah, exactly, Dwayne and Brother Arthur, I mean, you guys, I mean, you see them puffing on a cigarette like Dwayne is saying there. Amen, brother. And they call themselves Reverend, taking a hit off of Cutty Sark. And I mentioned Cutty Sark because that's what got me kicked off of America Online right after I found a new way of getting onto the Internet when the Internet was first invented in our area, because everybody had to use the AOL where you got mail. Remember that? We all had to use AOL to jump on, and I found a new way of jumping on, and about a week or two after I figured it out and was already using it, that kicked me off America Online because some priest who admitted he had a bottle of Cutty Sark on his desk every time he would get together with his quote-unquote brethren to share the word. And I came in there and I started showing how, well, he says this about the Bible, but just read the next verse. And I put everything back in context, right? And boy, did I get him upset. And they signed a petition or something. I don't know. They got everybody to gather together and complain to AOL. And they got me kicked off. And I said, well, it's much faster with the way I'm using it now anyway. Dial-up days, you know, you had to jump through AOL and then go to the internet, which slowed you down. You're piggybacking. So, yeah, gay used to mean, I mean, amen, Sister Vanessa. Gay used to mean happy, giddy. Yeah, that's what it used to mean. Now it means miserable. Because every homosexual will tell you, if they're honest, because there have been some videos made where some guys go into these, you know, homosexual bars and asking them questions about how they became homosexual and what's the life like. And they all admitted they were very, very miserable. They hated everything, and it's just, and they were all molested as children. So, yeah, Trinity used to mean three, but the way the Vatican defines it, it means one. Three gods in one, and that's what these people out there that are preaching this so-called new message. But they'll even go so far as to say, sin's just a bad decision. And that's what, like Brother Arthur just said. But that's just like what they do with the, they water it down, make it like the Vatican. They came up with the mortal and venial sin. Mortal, you're going to hell in a handbasket if you don't go to confession. Venial, you might get a couple extra years in purgatory, but just don't make it home. Look, sin is sin. But they water everything down. So let me see where we're at here. See if I can go a little further. I think we'll stop here, yeah, because next week it says, for they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because, yeah, so we'll stop here, because I just noticed the clock there, and I can't wait for today, because today is Testimony Sabbath. We get to glorify the Lord, before, praise his name before the great congregation. Amen. So, and we already prayed, so we'll jump in right after this and just go right into it, and, amen to that, Brother Alex, yeah. You know, as a matter of fact, that reminds me what Dwayne just put in there. Pastor Russ, he didn't know how to read, even though he was working for Illinois Bell at the time. I mean, he understood a few words, but somebody handed him a Bible. And when he accepted Christ, and he didn't know how to read, and he says, if you're truly a God, you'll teach me how to read your Bible. And so the Bible came his dictionary too. But that's the way you got to be. If it's, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. If it's not in the Word, then it's not in my life, period. So today's world. All right, so next week we'll pick it up at verse 27. I hope and pray that you were blessed. I'll be back in a minute or two or three.